1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock. Catriona Byrne, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
Catriona, ye made a big family purchase 3 weeks ago.
We did, yeah.
What did you buy?
We bought a caravan for the family.
A caravan. And how much did it cost?
€8,000.
And what were the plans? Did you have a caravan park booked for it, or what were you going to do with it?
We had our first booking made for the 16th of July. We were off to Easky in Sligo.
And where are you based there yourselves, Catriona?
We're in Elphin County, Roscommon.
Okay, so you were really looking forward to your first family holiday in your new caravan.
Yeah, we have 4 children, 3 boys and a girl, so the boys were very excited about it.
I can imagine, yeah. I mean, it's a huge thing, isn't it?
It is.
So there you are, planning away, delighted with yourselves. And then you got up on Tuesday morning, and what happened?
So my husband was away. He was collecting parts up in Northern Ireland, and he came back about 11:30. And he walked down to the shed, and he just noticed that the caravan was missing. So he just ran up to me and he said, you know, Catriona, the caravan is missing. Have you organised it to go off to be cleaned or anything? Or I said, no, nothing. And we rang the local guard straight away and just got the ball rolling on social media, got photos circulated and done our best to, you know, try and track it down.
OK, so just let me get the timing right. So that was actually Monday night then, was it, that it went missing?
Yeah, so we have CCTV from Desi Glancy, the filling station in Elphin, and Morris Meats, also in Elphin. And we can see the car going through with the caravan. It goes through Elphin at about 20 to 3 in the morning.
Oh. And where had you been keeping the caravan?
So we have a yard just attached to the house.
I'm going to ask you to keep the phone. I don't know if you're talking in a speaker or what, but you seem to be kind of fading in and out a little bit. So
okay.
So just again, where were you? Where was the caravan being kept?
So it was kept in a new shed that was built in the yard. Now there was no roller shutter door on the shed as yet, but it was tucked away in the corner. Now it was fairly out of sight. And there'd be like a hedge in front of the shed along by the road where, you know, you wouldn't really see it in there, in fairness.
Right, so you think somebody must have known that you had bought it?
I think
it
and, so, yeah.
And how did they get it out of the shed then? Did they bring a car into the yard or...?
We don't think a car came into the yard. Our neighbour, Tommy, his wire was cut. It just runs along by the side of our shed. So we think they may have come on foot maybe across the field. We have a feeling that they went into the shed and they kind of manoeuvred it out by themselves. Maybe 2 or 3 lads kind of, you know, dragged it out because there was a big tractor and silage wagon parked one side of it. Nice. And Connor had timber and steel and different things where he was building a workbench in the shed.
So it would
have
been
all thrown out of the way.
All right, yes. It would have been tricky enough to manoeuvre it out.
It would have been, yeah. But, and it would have taken them a while as well. And
right.
We didn't hear any noise at all.
So what time of the evening do you think this happened then?
I think it happened about 2 o'clock in the morning.
All right, and you didn't notice it until...
No. It was 11:30 yesterday morning before we discovered it. So there was a big gap there before we realised what had gone on.
Oh, such a land to get, I imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, as you say, you all hands on deck then to try and figure out where it had been taken to or where it ended up.
Yes.
So track it for me then. So it left your yard at, you think, in the small hours of the morning.
Yeah, we say about 2:30 a.m. or 2:35. It went through Elphin 20 to 3 and we can see it turning down the Strokestown Road.
Right.
So then we pick it up again in Strokestown, Supervalue, CCTV, Eurospar, and the Westward filling station, and they can see it going on up, heading for Dublin, up towards Tarmanbarry.
And it's been pulled behind a car, is it?
Yeah, a blue saloon-type car. Yeah. We have no reg and we have no make or model. It's just very grainy on CCTV. It's hard to make it out.
Okay, well, unfortunately, there's a huge amount of blue saloon-type cars around
That's
the place.
So,
Okay, so then that is that the last you saw of it then, Katrina?
We spoke to Keenan's in Terminbarry. They can see it going across the bridge in Terminbarry. And then Connor, my husband, went up to Rathowen last night, and the owner of Ferrick's Hotel kindly let him go through the CCTV there, and he can see it going through the town of Rathowen about 3 a.m. He also called into the smaller filling station there in Ballinalack, and we can see it going through there again a few minutes later.
Right. So it was, okay. So, God, there's private detectives that wouldn't have this network, Katrina. So, yeah, okay. So there, that's 3 a.m. and it's in, where did you say that was? In
Ballinalack.
Ballinalack, okay.
Yeah.
And is that, does the trail go cold then?
No, there's one more sighting of it about coming up to 4 a.m. It was going up one of the slip roads off the Mullingar bypass. We think it was either junction 13 or 14, and probably for the Mullingar Park Hotel, that one going across into Mullingar, and we haven't had any trace of it since that.
Right, okay. Mm. Now, I'm looking at a photograph of it here. It's a lovely looking caravan, I have to say. Is it a four berth or a six berth?
No, it's a six berth, yeah. So there's two sets of bunk beds. So all the children had a bed each, and a king size bed up the top. So it slept six comfortably.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. generally white. Oh, I think we've been able to put that photograph of the missing caravan is on the... at RTE Liveline Twitter account, if anyone wants to have a look at it mm-hmm. and maybe might jog their memory if they've seen it any time since that last sighting, as you think, on the Mullingar exit. So it's a white, if you don't have a Twitter account, just describe it. It's a white six-berth caravan. It's got a blue, a kind of a navy blue and a light blue band going around the bottom of mm-hmm. it. And it's the make is Ranger.
Yeah, so it's Bailey Ranger, and then the model number is 550/6.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a single axle caravan.
Okay. Well, as I say, we've the mm-hmm. picture up there. If anyone has a Twitter account, they'll be able to see that. And this was your first ever caravan, was it, Katrina?
Yeah. It was something we said we'd do for the children, and we were, you know, we tried to do it last year, just didn't get around to it. We saved a bit of money with lockdown. And we said we'd bite the bullet and buy the caravan and, you know, get used to it and get the kids out. And, yeah, we were really looking forward to it now. And it's just devastating for us and for the children, especially our little five-year-old now, the youngest boy. He's particularly put out about it. You know, he used to go down and sit in it every day in the shed and have a look around. And, you know, he'd come up and he'd be saying, when are we going to Sligo? And, yeah, so it's very, very sad for them now.
God, no. So, I mean, if you don't have the caravan, will you be able to have that holiday at all now?
Probably not. No. Back to the drawing board now.
And there was nothing else taken, Katrina, was there?
There was some power tools belonging to Connor taken as well. There was a power washer, a chainsaw, and I think some sort of a circular saw. And that was in a locked shed beside where the caravan was. And that was padlocked and chained, and they broke the padlock. And got in there as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I suppose your most immediate concern is this caravan, and I suppose the possibility that somebody might see it, or might spot it, or might alert us to it.
That's it. Yeah, we think they turned off the main road, you know, maybe to avoid the toll bridge. So we're, you know, we'd be just kind of appealing to the people in the towns around there, you know, Mullingar, Killucan, Kinnegad, Clonard, Enfield, you know, them kind of places, just to see if anyone has any memory of it going through.
Yeah. God, coincidentally, I was talking to somebody about campervan holidays and caravan holidays yesterday. They are a very unique experience. Would you have had them yourself in your own childhood, Katrina?
No.
So this was going to be a big experience, a big adventure for all the family.
Yeah, and we were just getting ready for it. We were ordering different bits and pieces for the caravan, you know, kettles and toasters and bedding and different things. And it's unfortunate now we've no caravan to put them in.
And did you even get the kids get a night to sleep in the caravan?
No, we didn't. No, nothing at all. No.
Mm. Well, as I say, the photograph is out there on the Liveline Twitter account if anyone wants to have a look at it. And as you say, you think somewhere around the Mullingar area.
Yeah, heading for Dublin, we think. But, you know, it's a needle in a haystack. But if if anybody remembers Anton, it's a big caravan, you know, if and it was travelling at speed by all the reports, so it might just jog somebody's memory of it.
Yeah, I wonder, I suppose it probably is a cyclical thing, or a seasonal thing, I should say, the theft of caravans. Did you hear of any other thefts or any other caravans going missing in the area?
There was a caravan stolen from the premises in Elphin there going back a couple of months ago from the townhouse, bed and breakfast, but they luckily recovered theirs. I think they actually seen it being hitched up and stolen, and they managed to, keep after it and get the guards involved straight away, and it was recovered a few hours later, luckily.
And I presume you've been onto the guards as well, Katrina.
Yeah, and they've been very helpful, So hopefully now we'll make some breakthrough on it today.
Okay, well, look, it's out there now. And we hope, as we say, if anyone sees it or anyone has any notion of where you should turn to next, we will certainly get back to you, Katrina. Many thanks for that and best of luck with it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Okay, now from caravans to King Charles Cavalier Spaniels. Paul McClay, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, this is not your own story. It's your sister's. It's your sister that had a very traumatic incident with her dog.
Yeah, on Sunday morning, she was out walking her dog as normal, and just at the top of the town. And this happens to the van, quite its own.
Right.
And she was set upon by at least three people. Dog thefts. That's plain and simple. But the fact that we're on here talking about this is the fact that she was so badly, like, it was such a traumatic incident that she got hit. She got her nose broke. She was badly assaulted, you know.
Okay, let's go back to the start then. So she is just out walking. Her dog, we should say, is, as I said, a King Charles Cavalier.
Yeah, she's actually got two dogs, a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and a wee Collie Cross. And she was out walking the two dogs, and this is about 8:30 in the morning. Like, it's not a country road or not, it's the top of a town. And there's a lot of cars going past, it's a busy road. And these guys just hop out of a van, try and take the two dogs off her, and when she fights back, that's when she is assaulted them.
And these were young lads, was it?
They were young lads, they had their face covered. They were local lads with the northern accents. And she reckons that they're locals.
Okay, well, we don't know that now, and we should just say we've no evidence really about who they are at this stage. But they, and as you say, their faces were covered up, so even less hope of identifying. But so they jump out of the van, and they say to your sister, it's Anne Marie, is your sister's name. Give us the dog. Is it basically that simple?
A few expletives, and just give us the dog, kept saying that. And when she basically pulled the two leads back, that's when the assault took place, when she fought back basically with them. She wasn't prepared to give up the two dogs, and she was assaulted first, and then she went down, and she tried to punch back, all right. But She made contact with one of them, but then the second book, then he basically, when she turned around her face, he just right on the nose and broke her nose.
Yeah, so, and you've sent us a picture of Anne Marie. Hopefully we might be able to put that up on our social media page. Yes, it's also, that one is also up on Twitter, I'm now told. And really shocking, the injury she has on her face.
She's one of these people that she's a quiet person. She's very, very private. And that's why I'm on talking about it. Like, you know, she's kind of very reserved, she's still very, very upset about it. She's getting all this attention, that people are talking about it. But definitely the question is, how can somebody go out walking a dog, be viciously assaulted like that? You know, even if you weren't walking a dog, if you take the dogs out of the equation, it's a vicious assault in broad daylight. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, and obviously that is, and to be punched in the face like that is so traumatic.
Oh, absolutely. And like when I heard about it, I only heard about it on Monday morning. And when I heard about it, I was livid. And first of all, I didn't believe it. Second of all, then when I seen what was up on social media, I was like, oh my God. That's when I done up the post then. And it's nearly gone viral at the moment. Like, you know, it's got that many shares.
And she did manage to hang on to her dogs through this then, did she?
Absolutely. That's the best thing about this. She basically fought them off. When they seen her fighting back, that was it. They just basically backed off. They'd already done the damage to her face at that stage. But now she lay on the ground until a passerby had come back and wondered why she was on the ground, and they give her lift and the dogs down to her house. Now, whether or not we're going to get any outcome out of this from justice, I don't know.
And I presume, and you mentioned in your chat with our researcher that the dog actually that they would have been going after, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, is actually probably a lot older than those dog nappers would have wanted him to be.
Well, that's a 12-year-old dog.
It's probably not a natural target for dog nappers.
No. Not particularly, no.
They're beautiful dogs, though. They do jump out, don't they? I mean, they're beautiful.
Beautiful dogs. Very, 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 very homely. It's just the eyes, you know, that's the big eyes that actually attract people, you know. But this dog is well-groomed. He's always been well-groomed. And everything been looked after. Everything been looked after.
I presume this is that they do this just to sell them on. They have a market for these dogs.
No, that's what we're presuming. That's where why she was targeted, but because we feel that, like, been talking to Amory, we feel that she was targeted because there was two other dog walkers that she met on that road that morning, literally minutes beforehand. And she was targeted. They feel that they knew her route, and they knew that the dog was with her.
And does she always walk the dogs on that route every morning?
It was when she got to the top of the road, she turned right down by the golf links, and this normally she'd go left, but this morning she turned right, and that's more or less the scary part of this, that they actually knew her route, that they were actually watching her beforehand. So when you look back on that, that's the scary part of this.
That she didn't do her usual route, actually. So they must have been...
She actually didn't do her... She went onto the same road, all right, but instead of turning left, she turned right at the T-junction, right in front of the golf course there. But... the thing is, it's not a country road. It's in the top of it. It's actually at the edge of the town, and it's not a country road or nothing. Like it's a busy route.
Would other cars have been driving past while this was actually happening?
I'm not sure now. That she reckons that there wasn't that many cars on the road that morning. But now you're saying that now it is a busy road. Normally, it is a busy road. Like. That's why I'm appealing for, like, dash cams or CCTV, you know, that they might have picked up. There definitely was a white transit van involved. And if there's any CCTV of the white transit van involved, you know, to get in touch.
And, again, has she been talking to the police?
No, she has been talking to the police, yes. I just found that out this morning there. Now, up to last night... She hadn't because of the, like, there basically there was a stigma attached to it. Her being a school teacher, she's a local primary school teacher, and there was she felt that she was getting all this attention through Facebook, and that didn't want the attention. And then all of a sudden, she says, "You know what? I'm not going to contact the police." I said, "You have to contact the police." The police actually knew that she was assaulted, when she contacted them.
And what I'm not getting you about the stigma, why would there be a stigma if she was a victim of an assault?
She felt that she could have done more, you know, instead of letting them guys hit her, that she could have done more for them, you know.
I'm sure you have talked her out of that one, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but the thing was, I've told her, I says, they didn't get the dogs. That's the biggest thing. They didn't get the dogs.
That is, I don't know, is it the biggest thing? I suppose the biggest thing is that Anne-Marie has lived to tell the tale and that she's, you know, despite
absolutely.
Being injured, that it could obviously have gone, have been more serious and have been even worse for her.
Definitely. It's just to warn people of their own personal security around this area as well. Like, you know, it's while they're out walking. I know we shouldn't have to do this to warn people, but people are doing this and they're prepared to use this level of violence to get their means, you know?
I mean, absolutely. The idea that you would be out at that hour of the morning, walking your dogs at the side of, as you say, a busy road, and you could end up with that kind of an injury, you know, completely out of the blue, you know, somebody jumping out of a van like that at you, it's a pretty terrifying prospect.
It's unreal. It's mind-boggling. Like, you know, we still can't get our heads around it, because we know about the dog thefts in this area, absolutely, because there's a spate of them.
Has there been a spate,
There's been a spate of dog thefts in the area, yes, and there's been a spate of property markings, people going around marking properties that, usually pedigree dogs live in, you know, but this level of violence here now, it's just up the game, you know.
It definitely has, yeah. It's up the ante. Well, look, Paul, you send our regards, or give our regards to Anne-Marie. That is a really horrible experience to have to go through. And hopefully, maybe some people out there, some of our listeners, might have some information to help identify these lads before they strike again. Paul McLean, many thanks for that. I want to go on to Darren McGovern now. Darren, you have some advice for Katrina, our caller there, who had their caravan stolen on the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Yes, it's a terrible thing that's happened to the family, but it's happening far too often in this country. And what people need to be aware of, purchasing a caravan is just like purchasing a car. Now, what that caller should do is, if she purchased a caravan for 8,000, a Bailey Ranger 550, which I'm familiar with, she should get in touch with Chris, C-R-I-S. It's called the Caravan Registration and Information Services.
Right.
And then what they should do is register the serial number. When she purchased that caravan, she should have got a logbook for all sense of the word. Or if not, they should have the serial number off the registration plate on the caravan. And if you register the serial number with the Caravan Registration and Information Service, it means if anyone else tries to purchase that caravan, whether it be here or in the UK, because there's a highly likely chance that caravan could be already gone to the UK.
Oh, yeah. I did wonder, if it might have been gone across the border. Would that be a route?
Yeah, and what happens is, Anyone that's buying a caravan, and I would appeal to all the listeners out there that aren't familiar with the hobby or aren't familiar with the industry, is check the registration number of the caravan on Chris. It's just like cartel, for want of a better word, only it's with caravan. And that will tell you whether that vehicle has ever been stolen. It will tell you whether the vehicle has ever been claimed for on insurance, which happened in the UK during the great floods that we had there about 10 years ago. Caravans came to Ireland and were flipped after being flood damaged in the UK. But it's happening far too often. I know people that have had caravans, brand new caravans, stolen. And the modus operandi is the very same as what your caller has just said. Middle of the night, caravan pushed out of the yard and gone. And caught on CCTV here and there. One of them happened in Navan not too long ago. It was actually way through a checkpoint. Three caravans stolen out of one storage yard, being towed by four transits in the middle of the night, and the guards waved them on. Now, luckily, the person I know had his caravan found on a halting site in Clonmel. but it was in bits. We had cut tracking systems out of it. A lot of the new caravans now have a tracking system in it, just like what's in a van or in a car.
Okay.
And if you register these with your caravan, with Chris, it means, unfortunately for that poor girl, her caravan is gone.
Okay.
But if somebody tries to buy that caravan next week, next month, next year, and they check the serial number, it would be coming up as stolen.
Can you hold on there for me, Darren? I wanted to... Katrina is still on the other line, I think. Katrina, good afternoon again.
Hello.
Yeah, Katrina, did you hear of this Chris registration system before?
And I registered with Chris and I notified them yesterday that it was stolen. So they do have the number there and it'll be flagged if anything comes up.
So you had already registered with Chris when you bought it?
Yeah, I had luckily registered. We had registered and notified them of it being stolen.
All right, okay. Yeah, so, Darren.
That was a great thing to do. You should also check. When you asked where you purchased the caravan, was it in the south or was it in the north? Or?
In the south.
It was in the south?
Yeah.
Okay. From a main dealer, a reputable dealer, or?
No, private individual.
A private individual. Was the caravan delivered? Was the caravan delivered to your premises?
No.
Or?
No, we viewed it at their house and we collected it then a week later.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have caravans. I have a camper van now myself, and I have often went and took the wheels off my caravan, took them off and locked the wheels in away out of the way. Caravan theft is a huge thing. And was the caravan insured?
Unfortunately, not. No.
Yeah. Sometimes caravans can be covered on house insurance, or if it's an expensive enough caravan, which yours was, let's be honest, 8,000 isn't a small chunk of change.
And Darren, you said there this is a regular thing, or this happens too often. Is it really that big an activity?
This, without a shadow of a doubt, Katie, this is a multi-million pound industry between Ireland and the UK. And people are sleepwalking their hard-earned cash into buying a caravan. I know of caravans that were taken off campsites in the UK by British police. Your deck chairs, your bed linen, your cups, your saucers left on the grass, and a British 4x4 police vehicle hooked into them and taken them away because they were stolen. And the people that were in them didn't even know they were stolen. But the tracking system, some of the caravans have a GPS satellite tracker in it, or they would have a small, like what would go into a dog's neck, a little tag that when you wave the phone or the receiver over it, all the caravan information will come up on it. Now, one guy I know, when he got his caravan back, the people that stole it, let's just say, are well aware of caravans and camper vans. It's a culture to them. And what they done was they actually cut the trackers out of the caravans because they know where they are.
And Katrina,
your husband done a great job following that caravan on CCTV. Great investigative skills. My advice is don't stop. Don't stop yet. You got up as far as Mullingar.
Okay? Yeah.
Maybe check some of the hotel sites around Mullingar, because this is a formula.
I just want to say, Darren, we don't know who took this and we don't want to make any assumptions.
I'm not making assumptions. What I'm doing is stating facts of what has happened previously. It's the modus operandi.
We can't say that, Darren. I appreciate you. We may know of other cases where this might have happened. We can't say this is modus operandi or anything like that. But we do appreciate your advice to Katrina in relation to this. But Katrina, you were well ahead of the game and you'd already registered. Katrina, actually, we've got Attracta O'Connor on the line. Attracta, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You were listening to Katrina's tale of woe there and her kids being so disappointed that the holiday that they were so looking forward to has gone from them.
I was indeed. And whilst I was reared partially in caravan business in Ballysadare in County Sligo, where I grew up, and we had fabulous holidays, caravan holidays around the country. So I can only imagine the disappointment. However, you know, we now have a property in Doolin in County Clare, the Burnway Cottage, and we would love to offer Katrina and her family a break in the cottage. It may be September. I didn't get a chance to look at the booking chart yet because I think we're booked out until maybe the end of August. But we would love to offer her a break in the cottage for herself and her family if she would like to take that on and maybe give them something to look forward to.
For free, Attracta?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. That's a lovely thing. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, Katrina, that's a tractor. That is such a lovely offer, and so good of you to call in. What would Doolin, of course, fabulous part of the country.
Yeah,
absolutely, and it's within walking distance to, you know, to the pubs and the restaurants, and down to the pier that takes you out to the Aran Islands. And sure, you know, when I get a chance, I might word with some of the guys down there that have a ferry out to the islands and see can they help out maybe with a little trip or something. Not promising that, by the way. The only thing we can promise is our own cottage, but certainly free of charge. And it accommodates 8 people very comfortably. So hopefully there would be enough room in it for you. And it's walking distance. It's safe. It's on a main thoroughfare. And I would certainly be happy to talk to Katrina and myself about it, or whatever fits. Whether you prefer to talk to the live line, would prefer to organise it through them.
Yeah, no, we'll put you in touch. We'll put you in touch after we get off here. Katrina, what do you want to say to Tractor?
No, thanks very much. That's just a lovely thing to do. Thank you. The kids will be delighted. Thank you very much.
Oh, that is super, because the access to it's also the access to Cliff and Moher as well. And
lovely.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll see what I can do with the guys down there. I didn't get a lot. I was listening to Live Len as I do daily, and I didn't get a chance to call any of my contacts down there. But I shall do and see could we maybe organise some little extras. But certainly the cottage is yours for a few days, then we can.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thanks very much. It's a lovely
offer. You're welcome. I'm really, really sorry to hear of the Carvin situation, because I'm sure there are stories at our own businesses about caravans that have disappeared over the years. Empathise with where you're at.
Attracta, you are very, very good. Much, much appreciated. So good of you to, and so kind of you to think of calling in and making that lovely gesture and lovely kind gesture. Stay there. Martin Anthony. Martin, good afternoon.
How are you, Kay?
You had a similar experience.
Well, yeah, we had a similar experience a number of years ago, yeah. And we had purchased a beautiful caravan. We would have been campers all our lives, and we were getting to the stage in our lives where lying on the ground wasn't as conducive. The flexibility of our bodies, if you like. So we ventured down the road with our caravan, yeah, a beauty. And we went to go out. We had it in storage out in Kilmoon Cross, as far as I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to take it out for the first weekend. I think, if I recall, it was a bank holiday weekend. And we opened up the storage unit and it was gone.
Oh. And
gone. Yeah.
And this was a locked storage unit that you had.
This was a paid for, rented annually, secure unit, and the thing was gone. Gone.
And did you have any comeback on it?
Unfortunately, we hadn't. We hadn't. And we went down the legal route. And we were naive enough to think that we didn't have to have it insured. But as I said, we had only bought it a couple of months previously. So being new to the game, we wouldn't have experienced what we needed to do or whatnot. But as it happened, it was taken away and it was gone. And it was gone from the bank holiday in June until February the following year. And it was during the bad snow in the winter time, and I drove out on the road up the Malahide Road one evening at 5 o'clock, just as it was getting dark, and lo and behold, me coachman 4-bear caravan pulled out in front of me.
No way. And did you immediately recognise it as your own caravan?
Absolutely. It's like recognising your own bike. There's little marks in it, but I would have had a load of photographs of it. At my job at the time, I would have always used my camera for different things and work. And anyhow, I had loads of photographs, but I knew it was my air caravan. I knew it was ours.
So what did you do?
I followed it, and I went off the road. And it was down a dark lane, so I said, I'm not going down that dark lane. So I rang the police, and that was at 5 o'clock in the evening. And I sat guard there till 11 o'clock that night. And I went back the next morning, and the Gardaí had to go to the court and get a warrant and have my property removed off the site up in North County, Dublin.
And you got your caravan back?
I got my caravan back, yeah.
And was it in good shape?
Well, I told you this way. If someone was lying in your bed, Katie, would you like to get into a stranger? Would you like to get into it after them?
So did you sell it?
We did. We met a lovely man down in Blessington, in Charles Camping, actually. Just give him a little mention, because they're really good to campers and caravanners. Uh-huh. And he looked after us down there. But there's a couple of little things that guy said earlier on. That caravan is still in Mullingar. You can rest assured of that. That caravan is lying low somewhere.
Well, we hope that Katrina has the same experience as yourself, and that one way or another, that caravan comes back to her, or somebody spots it, or she spots it herself. But that's extraordinary coincidence, Martin. That is, imagine pulling out and seeing a year later your caravan in front of you. We have to take a break. 51551. There we go.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, I want to go back to an issue that is rumbling along since it emerged in the public domain last week. And this is the idea that older people whose family may have moved out are now rattling around their big houses, feeling under pressure to downsize because of the housing crisis and free up the bigger houses for families and others. Marie, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Do you feel this pressure, Marie?
Well, it hasn't come on me yet, but it was on Liveline about 3 or 4 years ago. And I decided at that stage, oh, is that what you want? Well, you're not getting this house. So I had I lived here since I was 6 years of age. I'm 72 now, right?
Right.
They think they're putting me out. They have another thing coming. At the end of the day, I helped to pay for this house. It was my parents' home, and I helped to pay for it. And since my mum passed away 8 years ago, and since then I started to do renovations. And when I heard this on Liveline, I said, stop this. So we never had a proper bathroom in these houses. The bath was on one side, and the loo was off the kitchen. It was ridiculous the way the houses were built back then. So I said, right, I'd make a proper bathroom for myself, have a little bit of luxury, and I'll turn the other bedroom into a walk-in wardrobe. It could be a one-bedroom house, so it'll be no good to them. So they can go and take a hike. Because at the end of the day, I mean, how dare they? People have worked their backsides off, Katie, all these years to have their own home, to do renovations, and then in their twilight years, they expect you to get up, pack up, and go off somewhere else. Why? And another, the stupidity of these government ministers is beyond belief. They tell you, they want you to sell your house and give the money to your kids and move on. What are you supposed to do for money for another house? You're not going to get a mortgage on your pension. That's for flipping sure. They will on their pensions, all right, because at the end of the day, they have huge pensions, which we don't have. Then, other than that, they would want you to move into an area where it's all old people, like an old folks complex. Supposing something happens to you, they're as frail as you are, you're as frail as they are. Nobody can help anybody. At least in a housing estate where you know your neighbours, you're friendly with them, you get on with them. If anything goes wrong, you can turn to them, they can turn to you.
Marie,
oh, some are young, some are old, you know.
Where do you live, Marie?
I live in Ballyfermot.
And as you say, you've lived in the same house since you were a small child. Yeah, since you were six.
And here's another thing, just for the record, Katie. I moved out here at that age. We had lived in my grandparents' house in Cabra West, right? There was me, my two brothers, and my mother and father, my grandmother and my grandfather. It was a two-bedroomed house. Grandma and granddad had one bedroom, and we had the other bedroom between us until we got this house. But there was no such thing as, oh, we have to get out and we have to get out. We all just blended in together and tolerated until we got this home. And fair enough, we got it. And then this was a fair distance from my grandparents' home if anything happened to them, because they're Cabra West, we're Ballyfermot, it would have been a two-bus journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, we didn't have a car. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, this, I think, I know they deserve a home, don't get me wrong, but some of them are really, really impatient. They want everything now. I mean, we came up the hard road, if you like. Like, when we came out to this area, there was nothing. Absolutely flipping nothing. And you had a journey to go to the shops. You had an awful journey to go to the local church. And we just tolerated it and we got used to it until they started to build up the area. Like, we've no choice in the matter. But, like, nowadays they appear to want everything for nothing. Or not for nothing, but they want everything now.
Can I ask you, do you have children yourself?
No.
No,
I don't.
You see, I think a lot of people do now look at their adult children, and, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, if you had adult children in their 30s, they'd be, you know, putting together the deposit, they'd be getting their mortgage, they'd be moving into their own, you know, setting up their own family unit in another house. But I think a lot of people are looking at their adult children now, and the adult children are looking back at them, and in many cases, they're looking back at them because they're in their spare room. They're stuck. There's that generation. Would you have any sympathy for that generation?
Sympathy. Don't get me wrong. I have sympathy for them, Katie. But, I mean, why should the government come along and want us to move out of our homes? Right, I'll give you another scenario, just for the record. How many elderly politicians are in 5 and 6 bedroomed houses? Are they going to be asked to move? They are like hell. No way on this earth will they be asked to move. But I'm sure there are a number of them. You know, ex-politicians and whatever, that have big fancy houses like that we naturally couldn't afford, but they're rattling around in them. Are they going to be asked to shift? Not a chance in hell. And I'll tell you another thing, that ad on the television, that Bank of Ireland ad, is a disgrace.
Oh yeah, we have had calls about this ad.
The bloody good actress, Casey, she should get a job in the Abbey. She's a brilliant, it's only an ad, but you can see it in her face. My God, you can see it in her face. It's a real case of, oh God, like, this could be me. And she's so sad. Look, my heart goes out to that poor lady, even though I know it's only an ad, but I'm sure it's based on reality.
It's very well done, I have to. Tell people.
I mean, that's sick.
Well, remind people, Marie, sorry, just in case, people don't know what we're talking about, but there is an ad, it's fairly recent enough ad that came on our screens, and it's played very, very often, actually, because I've seen it quite a number of times at this stage. And it's of a woman in her later years coming down the stairs of her house, looking maybe a bit shaky on the stairs.
Yeah.
And obviously very wistful and looking at all the memories in the house.
Yeah.
And she's the son then coming to pick her up and bring her to what's going to be her new home. She's moving in with the son and his family.
Yeah, and if you don't get on with them, I mean, that's fine for the first couple of weeks. If something goes wrong, you don't get on, something happens. You haven't got your own home to go back to. It's gone. End of story. You know, I think it's very, very, very sad.
Would it not suit some people, though?
It may do. But like I say, even when it happens, everything is fine. You're in new surroundings. You're feeling secure. You have somebody to look after you. But, I mean, things can go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to live under the same roof as somebody and not have differences of opinion. and especially where children are concerned.
And especially where in-laws are concerned, Marie.
Pardon?
Especially in some cases where in-laws are concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, if you say, oh God, I made a bloody mistake, now what am I going to do? Where can you go? Absolutely nowhere. You've nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. You're stuck. And you spend the rest of your life then in, oh, what, in the horrors, if you like, for want of a better, you know, you get depressed and whatever. I mean, you're in an area probably where there probably are no other elderly people of your age. You're in a state probably where there are predominantly young couples with little children, which they're quite entitled to do. But, I mean, putting old people in like that, no. Let them live their lives in their own homes and be happy for as long and independent for as long as they can. I mean, there are people who need looking after. I'm not saying they don't. There's no one thing fits all. There are people who need looking after. But surely there has to be a way around it. I mean, as you say about that old lady being a bit shaky on the stairs, yes, she definitely looks shaky. Why can't they put a stair lift in for her?
Indeed. Indeed. Will you stay there, Marie? Because I do want to stay with this subject, but I do have to take a quick break. But please stay with us.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we were talking to Marie there before the break about her feelings of the idea that older people should sell up and move on from their larger houses and downsize to let the younger generation have their housing stock. And just before I move on to our next caller, Marie, how are you enjoying the walk-in wardrobe?
Oh, it's fine. But I just did it to spite the government, if you like. But it's very handy. Like, it's grand. I like it. I like it very much. Because you can, you know, put your hand on everything as you walk in, you know, and you know where everything is. You get used to it after a couple of days and you know then exactly where everything is. And it's fine. I can reach everything. Like, there's no problem with having to climb or anything like that. You know, there's nothing up on a really high height.
But as you say, your main reason you did it was to spite them, so they couldn't say that you had a 3-bed house that you weren't handing over.
Exactly, exactly. And here's another thing. Why do they always pick on the old and the vulnerable? Why can't they pick on somebody in their own category, if you like? I mean, one government minister we had tried to take the medical cards off the old people. Another minister we had tried to cut the blind pension. I mean, how dare these people? They don't live in the real world. They're well-heeled. They have a good salary. Fair play, they work for it. I'm not saying they don't. They have a good salary, and they can live on it. But then, I mean, if they get sick, they're probably subsidised in one way or another. But, I mean, poor old people, that time they tried to take the medical cards.
I'd say they changed their mind on that one fairly fast, Marie. If I recall, there was some fairly spectacular protests.
Oh, right. I was at it. I went. I wasn't old enough, but I went because my mum couldn't go. And I said, to hell with it. And I took a day off work and I went to it. It was the best bit of crack you've ever had. They were,
I have to say, it did look it.
Brilliant, the old people. And I'll tell you, look out, government. The Grey Brigade are the ones that vote. So you try pulling the wool over our eyes and see what will happen to you. It's as simple as that. The young people don't go out and vote the way we do.
Yeah, I think a lot of politicians are acutely aware of that, Marie. Will you stay there, Marie? I want to bring in Anne. Anne, thanks, Marie. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Lovely to talk to you during the day, not just listen to you at night.
Lovely to talk to you too, Anne. And tell me, you were listening to Marie there.
I was indeed, a very articulate lady. We all are in different circumstances, Katie. I do have children, adult children, grown up now. Mm-hmm. We had a 4-bedroomed house. I'm now a widow. In the countryside, so not in the city, as mm-hmm. Marie is. In the countryside, but very near the bounds of the city, down south here in Cork. Mm-hmm. And a very large garden, very mature, that my late husband put a lot of work into. In fact, he built this house, this bungalow himself, with direct labour.
Right.
Now, we paid a big mortgage and we remortgaged for a while. And you do all that, Katie. You work very hard and then you end up with this four-bedroomed house. But I can tell you, Katie, it is the family home. It is a place for them to come out to the peace and quiet of the countryside, shall we say, and congregate. I can have visitors over, my lovely brother from England. I know I thought about downsizing a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I seriously did. I thought, really, I should. And Katie, financially, what I would get for this house, an older house, with lots of improvements to it, a wet room, solar panels, double glazing, all the money you put into it over the years, but what I would get for it out here, I can tell you, the nearer I go to the city, I get rubbish. They don't even make the two-bedroomed bungalows that I was thinking of. And I was only thinking of bungalows because I'm used to them. I was reared in a large house, three and four stories, still can run up and down stairs. There's no problem there. But for the future, you think, you know, maybe not get a three-story townhouse. No, there's nothing to be had, Katie. There's nothing that would replace.
But as you say, you obviously put a lot into that house over the years, like going as far as even solar panels.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've got double lots of solar panels. I have an electric car. I have an EV car. This is what annoys me, Katie, about those ads, etc., and about the way we're treated. All my friends, and I'm older than Leo, who spoke on Monday.
Yes.
So articulately.
Yes.
He was 72. I'm older than that. I have my EV card. I have my own cable and charging point. All my friends around me, some quite a bit older, are into hybrids and electric cars. We decided, Katie, this is what we do to stay where we are. We get a good, reliable, cheaper to run, you know, environmentally friendly. We try and make our house that and our car. And we stay where we are.
And see, the image that that is often put about of people in their older years is
older
closer
years.
To that woman in the ad, I suppose, that
very
we were talking
so.
About.
That poor, wonderful actress, pathetic individual, Katie. A pathetic individual. I mean, the woman is so... First of all, Marie was right. You put in the stair lift, you make sure that she has family, you know, care, you make sure she has home health, and you help her to stay in her home. And who, in God's name, Katie, would bring in an old armchair with coffee stains on it? All my friends have replaced their old furniture. They have French polished their beautiful furniture. They've got rid of it. They've recovered things. They've upgraded. For goodness sake, Katie, I wouldn't take that room if I was paid thousands to go with it.
What struck me is there is how would you possibly replace that wallpaper, which probably wasn't made since 1972?
I think they probably got it handcrafted somewhere, you know, for a fortune. I wouldn't have a look. Katie, we're all painting our walls white. We're doing a Dermot Bannon on it. You know what I mean? Oh, for goodness sake, Katie, don't talk to me. I think it's the pandemic, actually. I think it's just gotten to me since cocooning was mentioned at the beginning, etc., you know.
Tell me, did that ad annoy you? Because I know it did annoy more of our listeners.
Well, actually, at first, Katie, when I looked at it, I thought, oh, you know, tugging the heartstrings. Oh, and then I thought, oh no. I mean, that woman isn't happy. All she can say is, grand. That should have been a wake-up call to the sun to say, oh, geez, this isn't going to work, you know. And she's grateful for that old-fashioned room with the wallpaper and that, oh, no, Katie. No. I began to get more and more annoyed every time I saw it. I really did. What happened to her house, Katie?
Yes, a nice red brick house, Anne. A nice red brick house.
A nice red brick house. It needed a bath. Well, it needed upgrading, like my wet room, etc., etc. That's, you know, I live in my wet room now. It's so beautiful. But anyway, it needed upgrading so that she'd have a place downstairs, so that she'd have her stair lift. I have friends who have parents in their 90s. In their own home, Katie, and the friends take turns to go in and maybe stay with mum, make a dinner, sleep overnight, make sure the home help is doing her job, etc., etc. Now, there are circumstances. People get elderly and sick, and they can't stay in their own home. I know that. But, oh, Katie, no, she's too young, that woman, to be moving into an old-fashioned room stuck at the end of their house. No.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Marie, you're still there. You
yes, I am.
100% agree
that
with her there.
She is absolutely bang on. She's correct. It is, you know, it's a dreadful lad, and if it's not taken off, I'm sure there'll be murder shortly. But, I mean, it's dreadful. I mean, it's like saying, well, this is the way you treat elderly people. Like, you wouldn't even call that lady old. You'd say she's elderly. And, like, I mean, that's exactly what it's saying. Now, this is what you do to elderly people. You get them out of those big rambling houses and put them in wherever you can fit them. You know, like, it's really, it's degrading to old people. Like, I mean, it's like you get to a certain age and you just don't count anymore.
Well, I want to move in with all of you because I want your walk-in wardrobe, Marie. I want Anne's wet room and your solar panels and your electric car.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm telling you, you have the life.
Oh, Katie, we lost the life, Katie. We lost our choirs, we lost our theatre, we lost our trips. Well, no, the cinema is open, the theatre is open again, thank goodness. We lost all that kind of social life because we were told, you know, but that will come back. And our walking, Katie. I mean, you know, elderly people walk now. They walk in groups. They play golf. They play tennis. I know. They're my friends. We do yoga. We're constantly at yoga. Well, the ladies, mainly the ladies, I will admit, you know, to keep well and flexible. And anyway, Katie, dear, I have a pint of cream in the car, which is probably curdling now with the heat.
While you're talking to me.
If you don't mind, Katie.
Okay.
Anyway, they were my few thoughts on it, dear. Okay.
And we much appreciated. Many thanks for that contribution. And I hope the cream is okay.
It will be.
Bye-bye, okay. Katie. Okay, bye-bye, Anne. I'll bring in Margaret now. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
I'm very well. You were listening to Anne and Marie there.
Yeah, sure.
Are you in the same age bracket?
I am indeed.
We leave it at that. We leave it loose. And this idea of downsizing.
I think actually in relation to downsizing, the government, if they chose to look at the inheritance tax and instead they could solve everything in one fell swoop.
In what way now?
The threshold for inheritance tax from parent to children at the moment, the limit is 330,000. Now, you wouldn't get a room in Dublin for 330,000.
No.
So anybody's property who's worth more than 330,000, if they leave it to one of their children, the child will have to pay 38% on the balance. So if you take a house, any house probably, in Dublin, the minimum near enough that people my age would be leaving it to the children is probably at least 450,000, maybe even more. If you live in the Dunleary Ratdown area, for example, your house is probably going to be 600,000 or more.
At the very least, I'd say, Margaret.
At the very least. Yeah. So therefore, what's going to happen is the person, the child that we want to leave our property to, will not be able to afford to pay the revenue, the tax, and they will end up selling the very precious home and the very property that they wanted to leave to their child in order to pay the inheritance tax. And it is very dishonest, I think, of the government to carry on the way they are, knowing house prices the way they are. They could at least link it to the local property taxes in various areas, which would be in Dublin, obviously, we pay more than people pay in the country. So they could organise the inheritance tax pro rata.
Mm-hmm.
They could still get their money, their money's worth, which I presume is the reason that they're keeping at such a low threshold. It's absolutely crazy to think. How many people know that before the big crash came in 2007-2008, the inheritance tax threshold allowance was over €540,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in today's terms, with the way property has gone up and everything, it's only €330,000.
I'm conscious that people would be listening to you, Margaret, and thinking, well, that is a sort of a first world problem. They say, I wish I had that problem, that there was a house that I could be left in any circumstances and they would be, they'd be happy enough to pay the difference, if you know what I mean, in terms of the tax issue. But I do see that if it's your family home and if it's your family, the idea that your child would end up paying that sort of inheriting the family home might lead to a financial problem is a difficult thing. Can I bring you back to the issue we were talking about, Margaret, in relation to downsizing and in particular that ad that that Anne and Marie took exception to?
Yeah, I totally agree with them. It is extremely ageist in its attitude. It is condescending. It would be interesting to know how much it costs a couple to do up the poor lady's room in the old-fashioned way they have done it up, and what's happened to the balance of the money she got for the house that was sold. If she wanted to leave it to them, I'll come back to my point about it, the amount of money they would have to pay on it. If you're, when you die, it's called inheritance tax. When you're alive, if you want to leave your house to your child, it's called gift tax. It's the same thing. So it's Bank of Ireland, I don't know who organises or arranges their advertisements for them, no more than other companies. People want to get cop on and stop being so ageist in so many ways.
Right. Aunt Margaret, I have to take another break. Thank you for that. 51551 is our text.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Our email, joe@rte.ie. Ursula O'Reilly, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Katie. I just want to present the other side of downsizing. I did it 3 years ago. I left Dublin. I'm now living in Navan. And I have to say, it was the best move I ever made.
And tell me, did you agonise about it, Ursula? Was it a big move for you?
I did. I did. My husband died, and I, as long as I was in work, I was okay with the big house. But when I had to retire, it got on my nerves. And anything I needed doing, I had to get someone to do it, including the gardens and clean the house and clean the windows. So it took me 2 years of searching to find what I wanted. Now, I could have bought cheap, but it wouldn't have been what I wanted. So I've got a lovely ground floor apartment with my own garden, my own hall door, and patio doors from my bedroom out to the back. And I'm 7 minutes walk from Navan. The bus stops outside. It's a gated community. The bus stops outside. I have every shop I could look for in Navan. And I must say that at the start of the lockdown, my son lives over on the Kentstown Road, which is it was outside the permitted distance. So on the first Sunday of the lockdown last year, I rang Navan Garda Station. I asked, was there any nice Garda would drop me in the paper, the Sunday paper. They came with the paper and they also came with a bar of chocolate every Sunday that I needed it. The community Garda then came to me and she visits. Well, unfortunately, she's transferred Stacey. She'll be lost. I'll be lost, I should say, without her. But she came on a regular basis.
And just dropped in to say hi?
She'd just call or she'd phone me.
And did you get the chocolate all the time? With the
oh, and I got, I got the bar of chocolate. And she told me, I wrote a piece to the superintendent here in Navan, thanking her. and her mother got to hear about it, and her mother said, that's more than she gives me. She never brings me a bar of chocolate. So, I didn't jump into it, Katie. It took me 2 years. And I researched everything.
But can I ask you, Ursula, just because one of the things we hear a lot, and I've heard from our colleagues, that you're not just leaving a house, you're leaving a community. So
no, I didn't feel that at all.
No.
To me, home is where you are, and I have to be content in the home. There's no point being there and not being content. Everyone around me was out working. I came down here and there were so many groups. I've joined 3 groups. And talk about being active, there's lots going on. And the other thing, since this lockdown, I have regular calls from people who are in these 3 groups I'm involved with. Am I all right? Do I need anything? If I do, just phone them. So I can't say... and I was very, very involved in my parish. I did an awful lot through the years and loved it. But a time came when I wanted to step back and just do what I wanted to do in my time.
For yourself.
And I've completely... I mean, I'm in a book club. I'm in Probus. That's professional business people. I'm in active retirement. And I was on the verge of joining the music group when the lockdown came. There's a theatre down here. There's a cinema. There's a beautiful theatre. I loved the Abbey. But we go up when allowed. We hire a bus and we go up. Go to the National Concert Hall. People shouldn't knock something until they really look into it. And I have found it absolutely marvellous.
And had you any connections with Navan before you made this big move?
My youngest son lives about 6 miles away from me, but he's working in Dublin, and I do see him. I might see him twice in the week. But my other son, who's in Dublin, I would have seen him twice in the week when I was in Dublin. So it all evens out. I have two bedrooms, so they're able to come and stay with me from Dublin.
And would you think now that you are seen as a blow-in where you are there
God,
in Avon?
No. Oh, God, no. Far from it. Oh, far from it. And there's great crack between Meath and Dublin football. And then Stacey, my community garda, she's from Offaly. So there's great banter. No, there's definitely... Casey, when Dublin are playing, there's more blue and navy flags down here than I saw in Dublin.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of dubs. A lot of dubs in Navan, that's for sure.
Half of Dublin are down here, yeah. And I just find, even in the shops, everyone has time to talk. You won't go in anywhere where somebody, you know, serving you or someone beside you will make comments.
So anyway, the bottom line is, don't knock it till you've tried it. And
don't
you couldn't be happier with your decision.
Yeah, I'm totally. I am so happy. But the only thing I would say, research it. Know what you want and don't settle for something. What you want will come up.
Okay. I have to sneak in one last ad break. Ursula, it was lovely talking to you. Many thanks for that. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And I want to bring in Thomas now. Thomas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, we're nearly out of time, Thomas, but briefly, you're in this category as well.
I am indeed. I'm living for the last 8 years on my own in a large 5-bedroom house.
Right.
And would love to move to a smaller house, but in the same area. But it's impossible to find a smaller house locally.
Right. I'd say a lot of people would have a similar issue, that they want to stay. I mean, I think Ursula was very brave, to my mind. She didn't think so, but that she moved, you know, way away from her where she had been based. But a lot of people, I think, wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm 38 years in the same house here. And, like, I have a large sitting room, dining room, 4 bedrooms and a bathroom that I do not use.
Yeah, and when you think of all the people who, you know, would really, really love to have that kind of space.
Exactly, yes. I have too much space, but it's very difficult to find a smaller house in the Dublin 6, Dublin 6 or Dublin 6W area.
Yeah. And is it your family have moved on, Thomas?
Oh, yeah, they have. Like, they're all adults and they all have their own house. It's like within about a 2 mile radius of where I live.
And it must be difficult, just the upkeep of a big house like that, keep it, you know, not damp and clean and all that.
Well, it's, and another thing that's going to happen now is that the property tax is going to go up considerably on it.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. We've
in
had
October,
that
the, yes.
that change in the property tax there in the last month.
Like, there's a terrible difference in the price between 2013 and 2021 in these houses.
And do you have a garden, Thomas?
Oh, I do. Too big of a garden.
Yeah. You see, there is a lot of work that comes along with a big house like that and with a garden.
There is indeed. But that is why I would be in favour of downsizing.
So you would consider it, and you don't take any issue with it, like that feeling that people are trying to kind of hunt
you
out of your house?
I would be delighted to downsize.
But as you say, you just need somewhere to go.
Exactly.
Okay, Thomas, we're actually out of time.
Okay,
we may come back to this again. We may talk to you again. But many thanks for calling into us today. Today's programme was produced by Fergus Sweeney. Research was by Richie Byrne. Sound on sound today was Cara O'Hare. Our BCO was Daniel Keating. And Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. I want to thank you all for listening. And stand by now for Ray Darcy.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.